shot. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. It is a DFS Army Fantasy Football Show. We're here to talk to you today about all of the news and notes from training camp. My question to you, Brandon, my question to you, Mike, is can we believe the hype? And really, frankly, for some of them, I think we can. So, of course, Flex Shane can follow me at the Flex Network One on X, baby. We've got Brandon Adam and we got Mike Dickinson. Gentlemen, it's been a little bit of time since we've actually potted together, the three of us. Brandon, how the hell are you doing, brother?
Awesome, dude. Getting ready for this. I'm so excited. Season's almost here. Like, it's almost Christmas, and we're down the stretch. I'm just praying my big flag plants just stay healthy throughout camp and get into the season. You know what I mean? That's the only thing.
Well, Calvin really Buzz, which you've been on that bandwagon for a little while here. As long as he's got the right cleats. That's important. He's got to have the right cleats.
Dude, so fast that he got blisters. I'm sorry. He
got blisters. Absolutely. Mike Dickinson, what's going on, brother?
We are right in the midst of wet blanket season, so this is the time of year that I thrive.
Yeah, it's so funny because you guys are such polar opposites. Like, Brandon Adam is always like, let's go rah-rah, the cheerleader in the corner. And then Mike Dickinson's like, yo, I told you about this player. He a bust. I told you about that guy. He a bust. So we are here today, gentlemen, to discuss about the training camp news and specifically what news we should actually use to adjust our rankings as it pertains to fantasy football. So before we get into the player takes, the specifics, the shifts in ADPs, what I want to talk about is an overarching ethos that we should follow when we're listening to this training camp news. And so the first one that I'm going to suggest here is when you're listening to training camp news, don't dramatically change your stance on a player or a team based on said news. The reason for that seems to be kind of obvious, right? Like, everybody's in the best shape of their life. Would you generally agree with that, Mike? Or is there types of news that we really should use to shift?
I mean, everybody should be going into training camp in the best shape of their life. Obviously, you got some guys like Rashad lingering Bateman. Injuries from last year. Yeah, Rashad Bateman, Pacheco, injuries that linger from last year. But generally, yeah, the season ended in January, February at the latest. You know, we're 6 months out from that. You should be in the best shape of your life going into training camp. So, like, you know, best shape of his life, running with the ones, all that kind of stuff. Like, that's all hyperbole, and that's the stuff that you got to shift through. And we'll get into it a little bit, but you know, there's narratives that we can trust, narratives that we can't trust. Generally, it's the overarching usage. You know, if they're being deployed the way that we thought they were going to be deployed, and you know, there's a couple other things that we'll take a look at that we understand as well.
Yeah, and then based on that, I mean, I would say the most important information we actually get out of training camp, which a lot of has to do with what we're hearing, is just that player's usage within the offense. Yes. Right? Like Brandon, one of the big things that we've heard, and you hated on this guy last year, but I think you're a little bit higher on him this year. Like, for example, James Cook, right? The buzz is this is finally the year. He's going to be the lead guy. Devin Singletary is gone. So that type of information is actionable. Okay, James Cook, he's getting the usage. You look at the ADP relative to the players around him. Good value? Probably. Check. That's a player we want to be higher on, okay? Yep. So then the third and final ethos is follow the drumbeat. Is it generally good or is it generally bad? Because, again, one report is hard to really follow, which, frankly, like with the Patriots wide receiver core, it's all over the freaking place, right? One day, Kayshon Boutte is just absolute trash. The next day, hey, man, best practice yet. He's looking kind of good, right? Is it a consistent drumbeat? In the case of the Patriots, probably not. Probably an offense we want to avoid. But if the drumbeat is consistently good, like, again, going back to your guy, Calvin Ridley, Brandon, every single day, wow, just wow. This guy looks like he was before the injury, before he missed time with the suspension. Like, you believe it. So those are the three general overlying arching ethoses we're going to be following here today on the show. So, Brandon, I can't bury the lead here because your guy, Calvin Ridley, I would say is probably getting the most hype. I think that's for good reason, right? Before we even started into this training camp news, the question was, which player do you want to know? Like, this is the question Alan Sizlowski asked. Which player do you want to know his results for the end of the season? So in January of 2024, which player's results do you want to know the most? And I think there's a lot of question marks about Calvin Ridley. But Brandon, since July 16th, so about 3 weeks ago, his ADP has risen by 5 spots, which doesn't sound like a lot, But now he went from an ADP of 32 all the way to 27, which is just right around that 2-3 turn. Mm-hmm. That is significant.
Yeah.
Tell me about Calvin Ridley. Do we believe the hype?
Everything that I've – so I've been deep, very deep with the Calvin Ridley hype. I've been watching every single thing I can find on the internet about him, every interview, everybody talking about him. And everything is consistent in showing you this guy is in phenomenal shape. He looks bigger than he was in Atlanta. His feet look super fast. The things I like watching are the drills that they have people side by side, all the wide receivers doing it at the same time. So you can actually see the difference between him and Zay Flowers and Christian Kirk. And man, it's a difference. Like it's like Calvin Ridley is in fast forward compared to these guys. When this guy is breaking down for his routes, it is unbelievable how many steps he can take in the short amount of space. So it's just telling me, reinforcing everything I thought he could do before the suspension, before the injury, or before the mental health, you know, hiatus or whatever he was going on. Obviously something was going on, but this guy is driven. Every interview he has, he is focused. And Doug Peterson, is every time Calvin Ridley comes up, man, he doesn't, you could tell he's like trying not to say too much. Like he's trying to keep it kind of like, I can't wait to unveil my presence on week one with this guy. Cause they can't, it's really hard not to talk great about him. So I just, when, like you said, when it's a consistent drumbeat and you're talking about players that are coming off injuries, I really want to see them coming in and making a difference in practice. And he has been doing that.
So I'll throw it to you in a second here, Mike. I just have one quick comment just about Calvin Ridley. It's the fact that sometimes adversity can lead to clarity, right? So Calvin Ridley going through the adversity, he was dealing with some mental health issues, which I'm so happy. Like, I don't know if you guys saw, I know you guys did, but for our listeners, go out and search the Calvin Ridley letter that he sent. And it was very a personal letter and a personal note about why he was gambling. And just, it's not an excuse, but it's just some context, right? These guys go through some challenging times. And so through that adversity, I think he's regained that clarity that, yes, I want to be a professional NFL player. I've got the talent. God gave me that talent, or whichever deity you choose to believe in, gave him that talent. It's up to him to execute on it, right? So I believe the hype on Calvin Ridley. I admittedly was never a Calvin Ridley guy. I got burned once on it. So far, I've been right most of the time. But Mike, Calvin Ridley, do you buy the hype? Frankly, at his price, at ADP of 27 in underdog.
Absolutely. I do. I mean, I own him in a couple dynasty leagues, and you know, when it came out that he got traded to Jacksonville, I got a couple low ball offers. I got like a 3 and a 2. And then at the end of the season, I got, you know, after Jacksonville kind of put that run together, I kept getting low ball offers for him. You know, I turned down a 1 for him. I think if he was going to go in this draft, he would have been probably the top wide receiver taken. You know, I think you look at his skill set, you look at what he's capable of, what his ceiling, he would have been right in the conversation with, you know, with JSN and Addison. So I think that from a dynasty value, he's still a 1+. I think redraft, I think that he's phenomenal at his ADP. You know, looking at ESPN and Sleeper, those ADPs haven't quite caught up yet. He's still going at 50 on ESPN. He's still 46 on 40th on Sleeper. So like, if you can get him, like if you're drafting at the back end, if you're at like 10, 11, you know, you start off with, you could deploy anchor RB and then you go wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver, and you end up with Ridley as your third wide receiver. That's wheels up, baby. Like, I'm in Philadelphia. I'm in the Philadelphia area. I'm an Eagles fan. So watching Peterson has told me two things. One, I'm always leery of any Peterson backfields. I'll take the cheaper back in that, but Peterson has the ability in his offense, and especially with his OC is Press Taylor, who was a quarterback's coach when Peterson was a head coach in Philadelphia. They have the ability to scheme open and make any wide receiver relevant. You know, when the Eagles had their run, their Super Bowl run in 2017, they didn't really have anybody that they were using. I mean, Alshon Jeffrey was there. He was their primary guy. So like, you know, you, but to make, to make the ghost of Alshon Jeffrey fantasy relevant when he's on the field. And then you give him a quarterback. And that happened with Nick Foles and Carson Wentz. You give him a quarterback like Trevor Lawrence, who we talked about in the same conversation as, you know, Andrew Luck, like a once in a decade type prospect, not to be the generational prospect that Luck was, but like, you know, he's in that same vein. Like he's a once in a decade thing. Like, he's going to turn your franchise around for the better part of the next 10 to 12 years. So give him a quarterback like that. Give him an offensive-minded head coach with a progressive OC, and then talented pieces around him. Like, so where are you going to deploy your assets? Are you, from a defensive standpoint, are you going to man up Ridley with safety help over the top? Well, then you leave. Not that Zay Jones is anything special, but you got Zay Jones, you got Kirk, and you got Evan Ingram. So like, it's a really great offense, and they're going to have to really figure out how they're going to try and stop it. And it's going to be a high powered offense. And Ridley is the most talented piece in there. Say what you want about Christian Kirk. He had a phenomenal year last year. He was a phenomenal value in drafts, but like, he's not going to lead the team in receiving this year. He's just not. Mm-hmm. He's not as talented as Ridley is. Ridley excelled at Alabama. He excelled the first years when he was in Atlanta alongside Julio Jones. And I see no reason why he's not going to do it in a skanky division like the AFC South. Yeah. Like it's like, yeah, wheels up. Let's go.
Yes, sir. I'm in.
One of the things I like about Trevor Lawrence too is that last year he still had 584 pass attempts, which was just over 34 pass attempts per game. That's significant, right? Like those are the types of volumes that we want to see to, one, be able to support an absolute alpha stud like a Calvin Ridley. But Christian Kirk, he's still going to remain fantasy relevant even as a wide receiver too, right? Because it's going to be one of these high passing offenses. There was some buzz out there that Peterson wanted Travis Etienne to have upwards of like 1,700 rushing yards this year. Like, I think there's 0% chance. Like, that's the kind of camp buzz you don't believe that crap, right? Yeah. Like, it ain't going to happen because of guys like Calvin Ridley and because of the wide receivers. And they're going to put the ball in Trevor Lawrence's hands. So I love that. I love that. So our guy Brandon here, I believe it was Brandon, not you, Brandon, but Brandon in the chat, mentioned Justin Ross with the Tony injury.
Oh, I love that.
There's been a lot of buzz right now about Justin Ross. But interestingly enough, his teammate, Sky Moore, somebody that we were quite high on last year as a rookie, with the Kadarius Toney news, Sky Moore's ADP has moved up 14 spots from 107 to 93, which I would say it's about right. Right. I mean, there's still a lot of, it's still a murky wide receiver core as to who, which one of these wide receivers is actually going to lead the team. And why not Sky Moore at this stage, right? Like Kadarius Toney, as much as we've seen flashes of the talent, he has proven consistently that he cannot stay healthy. And then one of the criticisms with Tony in general, just coming into the league, was he's an amazing athlete. He's a good, and I put in quotations for those listening, a good football player, but is he an exceptional wide receiver? I'm not sure yet, right? Sky Moore, kind of the same deal. We liked a lot of his traits last year. He did well, and we saw he got the Super Bowl touchdown, which is great, right? So he's becoming a bit more of a home name, but he didn't really do much last year. And so the question I have for you, Mike Dickinson, Sky Moore, 93 ADP overall. One, do you have an interest in him at that ADP? Do you have more interest in a Justin Ross, who's way down the board? Or are you staying away from those wide receivers of Kansas City?
I think if you're talking about redraft, where you talk about somebody who's going to
perform. We're talking about redraft today. We're building our teams for this season.
Somebody who's going to perform consistently for you, give me the Sky Moore over the Justin Ross. Justin Ross is a lottery ticket, and lottery tickets are great. But like with where Sky Moore's going, if you can pick him up as a wide receiver 3 flex piece, somebody who's going to give you a locked in floor. You look at what Juju did. Juju was the wide receiver 27 last year. So at 93 overall, you figure that with where Sky Moore is in his career versus where Juju is, you know, Juju had the injury he was coming off of. Sky Moore is ostensibly, by all reports, healthy, whereas Juju was not. He doesn't have the mileage. He was a prospect that we were extremely high on coming out of college. I think that you like what you get out of him. You know, you get you know, if at worst he's a flex play, he's a bye week fill in, he's a solid floor. You know, if you're in a matchup where you got a ton of upside, or you know, you just need to know what you're going to get out of him, he's those pieces that you can plug in. You know, you're going to get 11, 12 points out of him pretty consistently with the volume that he's going to get in a high powered offense like that. Like, I don't see nothing about Kansas City's all season suggests that their defense is going to be significantly better than it was last year. And you look at what's going on in that division. So Sean Payton came in to take over the Broncos. That offense is going to be at least
should
competent.
It should be
at least competent. Kellen Moore came in, took over as the OC of the LA Chargers. They're going to be a better offense. And then you have Oakland, and you know, with Jimmy G coming in there, I don't know what that's going to look like. They're probably going to be the worst team in that division, but that division, I think that division is going to be this year what everybody thought it was going to be last year, where it's shootouts. It's, you know, it's 45, 42 games, that kind of stuff. So you take Kansas City in those games, they're a high powered offense, you know. Patrick Mahomes threw for over 5,000 yards last year. He's probably going to do it again this year. He's got to throw to somebody. We know Kelsey's going to be the one, but give me Sky Moore with that safe floor. I love it.
Yeah. The other thing too, and this seems to be the buzzword this fantasy football season, is contingent upside, right? Like, what happens, God forbid, knock on wood, I don't want to put it into the ether. What happens if Travis Kelsey misses time, right? And significant time. It's the NFL. He's getting older. It's possible. The ball's going to have to go to somebody. A player like Sky Moore could be that player. My question to you, gentlemen, in general, is that, like, as we try to shift from a best ball mindset and building a team in best ball to building a team in redraft, you look right now and Justin Ross's ADP is 187. So literally like 100 picks after Sky Moore in round 16. He's essentially free. But generally speaking, when we're building our teams, one of the things we like to say is, like, instead of drafting your sixth wide receiver, again, for your redraft team, and a Justin Ross, like, that's where you want to be going with high upside, not your own handcuff, but handcuff type running backs, where if the handcuff for your other team, your competitor's team, if that lead guy goes down, you got the handcuff, right? Like, you got the Roschon Johnson guy if guy like Khalil Herbert goes down. Those are the types of players that we're suggesting you draft over players like Justin Ross. But, you know, if you build and you've got a heavy RB build, Justin Ross isn't a terrible guy to take a shot on, because, again, as that camp buzz continues, maybe he could be a thing.
Nice.
Yeah. So another guy that there's a few players I'm not really sure what to do here, but one of the guys who's fallen quite significantly is J.K. Dobbins. His ADP is now sitting at 67 versus 57 3 weeks ago, which is 10 spots down. And the Baltimore training camp, like, it's been interesting, right? Because J.K. Dobbins and Rashad Bateman, neither of them have actually practiced since training camp. Bateman, he's still dealing with the foot injury, which, I mean, that's a drumbeat we got to continue to follow, right? I mean, I think that's a check in favor of, if you're an Odell believer, go out and get your Odell. If you're a Zay Flowers believer, which is who I am, I think we all are, like, go out and get your Zay Flowers. But J.K. Dobbins, he hasn't reported. He wants a better contract. We know what the general feel is right now in the NFL, which is RB is like, J.K., if Jonathan Taylor ain't going to get paid, you sure as hell ain't going to get paid. So, Brandon, you've always been a really big J.K. Dobbins guy. Do you feel like at the value at his 67 ADP, you're willing to take a risk on J.K. Dobbins at this point?
I mean, yeah, because at first when he got put on PUP, I thought it was related to his knee. But it's more – all the buzz coming out, it's more about him being pissed off about his contract. And if that's the truth and his knee's fine and it's just about contract and things like that, then, yeah, he's a great value. But, I mean, I would just – if you're going to do multiple drafts, yeah, get a couple shares of JK just to be safe. And so you got a couple. But I would not – go hard with JK on all my rosters like I would with other players in that region, like Joe Mixon, people like, you know, players like that. I would rather have James Cook over JK Dobbins this year right now. So, like, and James Cook is going much further down the board than JK is right now. I think JK is just it's like you're playing with dynamite. When, you know, you're juggling sticks of dynamite and they're lit and you just don't know when they're going to go off. And I think JK is one of those players where, man, his talent is amazing. He's got great talent, but I don't know. I'm nervous. I'm nervous.
And
I'm a JK guy and I'm nervous. So
yeah,
it's just what it is. But I have so much JK in Dynasty that In redraft, I'm not looking his way.
Kind of tepid. Yeah. So Brandon McBroom saying that Ravens signed an RB because they say Davins is behind schedule. So they signed Melvin Gordon. Yeah.
They've signed Melvin Gordon, a dusty dinosaur. Like just let's be real here. Like Gordon couldn't get on a roster. You know, like it's not like a big deal to me that Gordon is there. He's a camp body. It's just what it is. But JK, I think, will be the starting running back. It's just how long is he going to stay healthy?
It should be. Another good point by Brandon here is that if he went three non-RBs, like J.K. Dobbins isn't the guy you want as your RB1. There's too much damn risk there.
No.
Conversely, like if you went RB heavy to start and you're sitting there around five and you decide that, hey, all these stud wide receivers I want to pass on. I mean, that's the other thing with J.K. It's about who's going around him.
Yeah.
I mean, J.K. is your RB2. I don't mind that, right? Because there's a little bit of risk, but it's not like your team's going to absolutely fail. I mean, keep in mind, like, especially in redraft leagues, when you look at your team post-draft relative to how your team looks, say, in December, like, you're going to be rocking the waiver wire. The draft is only one-third of the actual league, right? It's one-third is the draft, one-third is trades and interactions with your teammate or with your league mates. And then the third, and I would argue one of the most important is obviously the waiver wire, right? So that's just one thing to keep in mind.
The one thing that scares me about JK is that with this, yeah, they shifted from Greg Roman to Todd Monken as the OC. They paid Lamar a whole butt ton of money. So they're going to try and put the ball in his hands to make him win. JK is a zero in the passing game. He started and played in 23 games. He has 25 receptions in 20.
Yeah,
games.
But that in Ohio State, he could catch the football. Like he showed he could catch the football. I think that was just scheme based. Like I don't think that was really anything else besides scheme.
It scares me. It's a sample size over a year and a half, and it's Greg Roman's offense. But still, I mean, 23 catches in 25 catches in 23 games. It doesn't give you warm and fuzzies.
It doesn't. You're right. I got you.
No. Especially where you have to take him in drafts at this point, right? Like you want a player that's going to still, like, I know it's later in the draft, but you still want a player that's going to be dynamic in both the rushing and the passing game, which is interesting.
Absolutely.
Yeah. One of the ones that kind of hurts my soul a little bit here is like Jonathan Taylor and news with Jonathan Taylor. So he's fallen six spots. Current ADP is 23, which is right around that 2-3 turn. He fell from mid round two at ADP 17, which I thought ADP 17 was too low, frankly. And now he's an absolute steal. I'm going to say here, like I'm willing to take a shot on Jonathan Taylor because he really has no options. He has none. He's screwed. It's either you get paid. If he goes on the NFI list for the NFL and he doesn't accrue a season, it's just, we're going to go through this exact same dance for his year four of his contract next year, right? Like the running backs, unfortunately, have no leverage. So I believe Jonathan Taylor is going to play. I believe that, and unfortunately for the guy, like he's probably going to, again, lead that offense as they break in their rookie quarterback, Anthony Richardson. So he's going to work. Now, if they wanted to throw him a bone, maybe they could do some sort of incentive thing. Like, you know, maybe what the Giants did with like Saquon, right? Yeah. They gave him like a $900,000 in incentives, which is still pretty, like still, he's going to require some interesting, like 1,300 yards to need to achieve. So something like that to throw a bone at JT, I think would be a nice thing to do, but they have no requirements to do it. And it don't sound like the Colts have any interest in doing that.
Nope.
Mike, Mr. Wet Blanket, are you comfortable drafting JT as probably your RB1 if you're picking right at the 2-3 turn there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you gotta. Yeah, I mean, I think you look at the history. You look at how this has all played out. I mean, Le'Veon Bell was the last person that set out and sitting out A ruined his career, and he B came out and said that he wished that he hadn't sat out, that it was a wrong decision. So I think that in the what's that?
I just say, of course, it was a horrible.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that in the end, you know, Jonathan Taylor is on the last year of his rookie deal. He was a second round pick. There's no fifth year option they can pick up on him. So, you know, worst case scenario for him is that he gets tagged at the end of the season and that then, you know, he either tries to renegotiate a long term deal or his contract is fully guaranteed at what's probably going to be around, you know, $11 million a year or something like that. Based off where the current RB market is, it's pretty solid money. Like the Christian McCaffrey deals, the Derrick Henry deals, those deals aren't coming back for running backs anymore. So I think that what he does is he shows up, he plays, he can't afford to pay the fines, to miss the game checks, anything like that, because he is still on the last year of his rookie deal. So I think ultimately he's going to show up. He'll probably show up week one, going into week one. Maybe he'll show up at practice Thursday or Friday. And quite honestly, as a fantasy drafter, I'm fine with that, because the guy can play. He's an elite level talent. He's been the RB, he's been the overall RB1. So, you know, he has that in his range of outcomes. And, you know, when, I don't think that this was the case, but when he went on PUP, there was talk that his ankle wasn't all the way back right. You know, it was interesting to me that, you know, if you read the tea leaves, they had that, you know, Austin Eckler had that RB Zoom call on Saturday. And then, you know, Taylor was visibly upset. He was shaking his head. He was despondent. And then he goes on PUP on Monday. So to me, that's like, I don't like where the state of the position is at. Yeah. Oh, my ankle hurts now. I'm going to go on active PUP. Like, to me, that's what that was. It was never about the ankle. It was about his dissatisfaction with his situation. And we saw that play out. So I think that as out of his mind as Ursay is, they'll do something. They'll throw him an Eckler, Saquon type bone, you know, give him, redo his deal for this year, stack some incentives in there, play every game, hit these benchmarks, take us to the playoffs. You'll get an extra little bump, you know, and then we'll talk about next year. I do think that what we're going to see is at the end of the season, I think the Maras gave Saquon some promise that they're going to give him a deal and a slightly above market deal with 3 years on it that he's going to get at the end of the season. And hopefully Ursay does something like that. Ursay is out of his ever loving mind. And
he is over it.
But the nice part is they got a quarterback on a rookie deal for the next 5 years. So exactly. you can afford to pay that guy. And you still got Pittman on his rookie contract. You got Alex Pierce on his rookie contract. They have a cheap team right now. And if they're going to do it, now is the time where they can pay somebody like that. And it would be nice to see them say, hey, you know what? The running back position has been undervalued. It's been devalued by the way that this league is running. But Taylor is a huge part of this community. He's a huge part of our team. We're going to do the right thing. We're going to pay him, and we'll figure it out down the line.
The only thing that will shake me off of JT from starting this year is if they go and sign a Lenny, a Kareem Hunt, any kind of big-time veteran name. If that happens – then you can see people pumping the brakes on JT a little bit, and maybe they are going to play hardball with them and, you know, make an example. Ursay is crazy enough to make an example of people. Like, he really is. Like, he does not care. I don't know.
Did you guys?
Here's the thing though. Like, you're going to have to pay one of those guys $7 million. Like, we saw approximately what Dal Cook was getting offered, and it looked like he was right around that $6 million range, and he's not budging for that. You know, so you think the Patriots came in, maybe they offer Fournette, maybe they offer Zeke something in that $5 million range. If you give Taylor another $2 million this year, you're still $6,000 ahead. So what are you going to pay? You're going to short yourself $6 million just to prove a point. Like, you can be crazy, but I don't think he's that crazy.
Well, he's bought himself a lot of guitars for a lot of money.
Well,
I'm sure you guys have seen this news, right? How Jim Irsay is paying $20 million to bring that whale. So I think it's right now is at one of his, like, I don't know if it's like a compound or his house in Florida. The whale's been there for almost 50 years. They're bringing it back to his, it's not a whale pack. What is it? It's the whale's family, the whale's group on West Coast, like near Seattle. So he's driving them across country. The herd? It's a pod of whales. There we go. I knew it would come to
me. It's exactly what we're doing. Pod. Yeah.
Yeah. So Brandon McBroom, that is an absolute, like, that's a billionaire power play right there. You know that it is, right? Especially the fact that he made it public. Like, that didn't have to be public. You could do it.
Here's the thing, though. The whale doesn't count against the salary cap.
Well, not yet. Not right now. I'm sure if the owners had it their way, they would be able to do that.
But yeah, buy the dip on JT. Buy the dip.
Yeah, so buy the dip on JT. I think we all believe that. I don't know if you guys heard, but the New York Jets are going to be the greatest team in NFL history.
It's going to be unbelievable.
The greatest show on turf this year.
Oh, yeah.
Do we buy the hype? Do we buy the hype that Aaron Rodgers is going to be vintage Aaron Rodgers, despite the fact that, yes, he won the NFL MVP prior to that. And Green Bay was still running one of the slowest paced offenses in the league.
Oh, it's going to be epic.
Do we believe that Aaron Rodgers is a new, renewed, revived? He's a team player. He's taking money off his salary to go spend. Let's go out and get Dalvin Cook, man. Let's go do it. Do we believe the hype? generally speaking, about the Jets?
I do. I'm in, dude. Like, I'm in, and like Garrett Wilson to the moon. This guy Brownlee is absolutely blown up camp. He, like, this guy is going to be somebody. Okay. I think it's just going to be epic. Like, yes. Buy Aaron Rodgers for the year. He's excited. He's happy about football. He's got a squad around him. He's going to throw more touchdowns this year than probably in the last 5 years. I guarantee he's probably going to have the best year of his he can have. Like, it's going to be epic. Yes.
Almost said best year of his career.
I am almost right there. I see exactly what happened with Peyton Manning when he went to the Broncos and threw 50 touchdowns. And when he came over and was rejuvenized and wanted to prove a point because the Colts got rid of him. I see that exact kind of mentality out of A-Rod. He wants to stick it to the Packers for making his life hell the last 4 years, not drafting a wide receiver in the first round ever, not helping him in any kind of way. Like, that is just crazy to me. The Jets are doing everything they can to make him happy and to produce the biggest numbers he can out of that old man. And he is throwing absolute darts in camp right now. I don't know how you can argue against it. But well, go ahead, Mike.
I'm going to let Mike have this one, but I just want to throw some stats here real quick. Okay, so this is just last year. So it's one season. He didn't really have any stud wide receivers. At this point, Davante Adams is gone. But despite having almost 32 pass attempts per game last year, 542 pass attempts overall, he still only averaged 14.8 fantasy points per game. He didn't eclipse 20 fantasy points per game last year once.
Not good.
I am a little bit reluctant with Aaron Rodgers and this resurgence. Yes, I understand Garrett Wilson is who we thought he was.
He's that guy.
But I'm still a little bit worried that Aaron Rodgers is going to be able to return at his ADP. Mike, I love it. Let Brendan have it.
Go for it, Mike.
Yeah, so I think that if you skip over 2022, because quite honestly, Hackett wasn't the OC. I can't think of the head coach right now. It was his offense. Yeah, and I think that he and Rodgers really, really butted heads. So if you go back to 2020, Aaron Rodgers, and you remember that year, there was all that distraction, you know, whether or not he got the vaccine. He said he got, oh my God, what a disaster that year was. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers was the QB3, put up 24.2 points per game. You fast forward, you go ahead to 2021. Aaron Rodgers was the QB6. He put up 21 fantasy points per game. So it is 22 the outlier because Hackett wasn't there? I don't know, but where he's currently
No stud receivers either, right? Like Christian Watson was his one. He was pretty raw.
Yeah. Yeah. And they, you know, Lazard was hurt for part of the season.
Yep.
You know, I think Rodgers thought Lazard was going to be his one. I mean, he's got a bevy of tools around him. Here's the only thing that kind of scares me a little bit is that defense is really, really, really solid. So I don't know how many points the offense is going to have to put up. Like, could you see a scenario where the offense only has to put up 21 to 24 points a game? I think that's a distinct possibility. And, you know, they have Breece Hall. They drafted Abanaconda. They have Michael Carter in there. They have Bam Knight in there. Like, I think they want to run the football. I think they want Rodgers to win them games when he needs to win them games. But I don't know that they're counting on this offense putting up 35 to 42 points a game to win them. I think they want to win 21-17 kind of, you know, in the trench battles like that, which could be good or it could be bad. Is Rodgers going to throw for, you know, 250 and two, or is he going to throw for 175 and one, and they're going to put up 150 combined rushing yards on the ground between all those backs? I don't know, because the range of outcomes is a little broader than I like. I will probably back off him at QB12, but if I'm waiting on QB and I end up getting him in the 10th or 11th round, currently it looks like his aggregate ADP over the last week or so, he's currently going around 107. So he's a little bit above that round 12. If I wait on him and I get him at round 12, I'm fine with that. I'm good with it. And I think that because of how high his ceiling is, it's the floor that scares me a little bit.
But you got to understand the division he's in. He's in with the Bills. He's in with the high-flying Dolphins. He is going to have to put points up in four of those games this year. That's a quarter of the season. Those will be shootout games. I guarantee it. Those will not be 14-10 games. Those won't be 17-10. Those will be 35-28 kind of games. Like those are going to be explosive games. And A-Rod, I'm telling you, this guy is so about himself. He wants to make a stamp on the league. Yeah. Like he is seriously gonna put a major stamp this year, and he might fall off the cliff next year. Like I could totally see that happening, where he has one phenomenal last year. They go make a big run in the playoffs. They might lose or go in the Super Bowl, whatever. And then the next year he could flame out. Things could happen, get injured. The only thing that I think that can prevent him from being a QB1 this year is just straight up injury. That's it. His collarbone that he's fallen on so many times that he's had, you know, surgery on, like that kind of stuff. He's older. He's 38. Like I'm turning 38 in 2 weeks. I know exactly how that guy works. Is feeling every single day, dude. So I get it. Like he is feeling like shit at 38, but I think he's going to take enough human growth hormone to get through, and he'll be good to go.
Yeah, just don't do the piss test for Mr. Aaron Rodgers.
The two Jets Bills games last year, the two games put up a combined 71 points across the
with team. Zach Wilson. Give me a break. Like don't talk.
But Josh Allen was still the quarterback.
Year. Last year Jets are irrelevant to what is going to happen this year.
But what I'm saying is that first game, that November game that I happened to be at, that was an absolutely amazing game.
The Jets defense
held Josh Allen and those guys to 17 points. They won 20-17.
I got you.
In December, the Bills won 20-12. So like,
I got you.
Dude, I see what you're saying. And I do think the Bills are going to be a much more electric offense. I think that I'm really excited for the Dolphins this year. And I think they could end up in a lot of shootouts, but Saleh being a defensive-minded head coach and the amount of asset they've put into that defense, it scares me a little bit. It's the range of outcomes.
I get what you're saying. It totally makes sense in that view of what you got. I get it.
Yeah, and Brandon, don't worry. Those 17-10 games or 14-10 games, those are going to be reserved for the two games against the Patriots, because them Pats, they're playing defense, baby. Just extended Matthew Judon.
You're always flipping the trash Pats in here. Stop talking about them.
They the part of the division. They're going to pay them twice in a year.
You've had your time.
How do you think Bill Belichick's going to game plan against all of the AFC
good
competition?
Luck. I say good defense? Luck to you, sir.
I think Bill Belichick quits after ball. Week three. He's like, screw this. I'm done.
Stop it. Okay. We got to talk about Brandon's boys, Brandon's teams, those Seattle Seahawks. Mm. The JSN hype is real. That I freaking buy. Dude. But before we talk about the wide receivers, we got to talk about our beautiful baby boy, Ken Walker, and how he relates to Zach Charbonnet. Now, this one makes me a little bit sad, right? Ken Walker's current ADP is at 55, pretty much where it was 3 weeks ago, only down three spots. Zach Charbonnet, surprisingly, has also dropped, probably because of the shoulder information. He's currently sitting at 106. Of those two guys, Zach Charbonnet, for the people, he's back at practice. He had the shoulder injury. Here's the thing that's stupid, right? Pete Carroll was like, he's going to miss a fair amount of time. Like a week later, he's back at practice, right? So BS to that. And then Ken Walker, who was only supposed to miss a little bit of time, he's still out with the groin injury. With that news, with that information, Brandon, how confident are you drafting Ken Walker, what I consider a value ADP?
I'm hammering him every time I get the chance. Like Ken Walker is an elite prospect, and he's going to get the rushing touchdowns and the rushing attempts. Zach Charbonnet already banged up. Like I can already see this happening with him.
Brandon, you can't use that argument when also Ken Walker's also banged up.
No,
you can't use that
argument. A slight pull versus a structure of shoulder is different than having a muscle tweak in training camp. That's just training camp injuries. You're going to have soft tissue issues when you're dehydrated at camp. You're working hard in the heat. When you're an electric, fast twitch player, those guys pick up small muscle issues in training camp. It's very common. It happens all the time. It's not going to be a problem once they get into the season. I guarantee you, if we were in week two or three, he would have pushed through that. He would have never been on the injury report. That's just how the Seahawks work. They always, always push through those soft tissue stuff. And Ken Walker is going to get all the attempts you want. He's an explosive player. Just hammer him and enjoy the rushing touchdowns you're going to get, because he's going to have double-digit rushing touchdowns this year. Here's a little stat. Ken Walker was RB5 from the weeks 5 to 12 when he took the job over full time, took the job away finally in week 5. He had 17 runs of over 15-plus yards, guys. That leads the league. This guy is a finisher. He might have a couple negative runs here and there, like a Shady McCoy did back in the day. Like, you remember those back in the day, right, Mike? And then Shady McCoy would bust off 40 yards, right, out of nowhere. That is exactly what Ken Walker is for this offense. Yeah, Zach Charbonnet is a great player. Like, he's a good player. But they have a plan. They have a role for him. Seahawks are always – they're only geared about the playoffs right now. They drafted for depth at key positions in the offense, at wide receiver and running back. That is for the playoffs. This is to keep Ken Walker somewhat healthy throughout the year and be able to, when the weather turns cold, they are going to pound that football. But Ken Walker is a smash for me at ADP. I don't even think about it. He's an auto RB2 for me right now. I get him as my RB2 every single draft, it seems like. I have no problem doing it.
Just to put a bow on that, Brandon. So last year, again, this is for the full season, but his opportunity share was 65%. Do you think that's about right again for this season?
Yeah,
like he'll probably get 65%.
He will get that again, and he's going to – think about it, man. He's a rookie, and he produced at those levels after he got the job. After week 5, he was an RB1, okay? Nothing has changed. Like we talked about it, all the missing targets, all the missing rushing attempts – from Rashad Penny, from Travis Homer, those are all gone. Those will be Zach Charbonnet's. That will be Zach Charbonnet, all those touches. And he will get some third down work as well, because he does have a good pass catching skills. And Kenny is a little bit up in the air with that. But he is going to be just fine. He's explosive in a great offense. He's going to have so many scoring opportunities this year. I'm buying Ken Walker, 100%. Yeah.
Mike.
Go ahead, Mike. Go. Just do it. Just do it.
Here's the thing that scares me about Walker is you look at it. Walker had 21 runs of 20 or more yards, which is amazing. The next person behind him was Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry had 20 runs of 20 plus yards. Nick Chubb had 18 of 20 plus yards. Yeah. The thing that scares you is that Walker did it on 120 fewer attempts than Henry and on 80 fewer attempts than Chubb. So what you're relying on is the big play, the breakaway, to carve out your fantasy value. And while he was the RB5 from week 5 on, he had a bunch of RB3 and below finishes in there. Like, he had a couple of weeks where his yards per carry was less than a yard. So as an RB2, as maybe a flex play, I'm much better with it than as an RB1. Like, if you go wide receiver heavy in the beginning of your draft and you pick up Ken Walker as your RB1, that's not a tactic that I'm comfortable with. Now, the upside is huge. His upside any given week is RB1, but the floor is what scares me a little bit. So, like, I tend to be much more conservative than you are, Brandon, and I think it's just a difference in how we play and how we structure. So, like, I probably won't have much. I have him in the keeper league where I got him in the 10th round last year. So he's now a 9th round pick for me. I'm keeping him there 100% because he can be my flex. He can be my RB2 bye week, something like that. That I'm great with him with. At the cost, if he's your RB1 in a wide receiver heavy build, I'm not super comfortable with that. If you take somebody with a super solid floor, like if you get Nick Chubb as your RB1 and you know what his floor is going to be, like, dude is over 5 yards per carry for his entire career and he's peaked at above 6 yards a carry, you know he's the only RB there. He's getting all the volume. Yeah, then give me Walker as my RB2. It really, really all depends on how you build it out.
So that's those 17 runs of 15-plus yards is the third most for any RBs since Saquon Barkley did it as a rookie, okay? Like,
you're relying on that. That's what scares you. What scares me anyway.
Imagine this. Everybody's talking about Zach Charbonnet taking the job. What if Zach Charbonnet's not that good? What if he's not? What if he's just a guy? And he actually is just a guy. What if Ken Walker is given more because – maybe Zach Charbonnet doesn't make it through the season. What if Zach Charbonnet is just a jag? Like, Ken Walker has proved that he's an elite type talent, And the Seattle Seahawks O-line is so damn good from those rookie picks last year. They are going to be even more of a cohesive unit. They are going to be even more efficient. You got three stud wide receivers, light boxes for days for any of the running backs that are going to be running for the Seattle Seahawks. They are going to be running into light boxes because of JSN, Lockett, and DK. Give me a running back from the Seattle Seahawks and Ken Walker and just take it to the bank. I get what you're saying. But his upside is so much higher than what you're banking on his floor is going to be. I don't bet on floors. I bet on what could this guy be in certain scenarios with upside if there is a couple injuries where Zach Charbonnet misses 3-4 weeks. What happens?
There's that contingent upside.
I don't say those. I've never heard of that, but that makes sense to me. But I like looking at, can Ken Walker, if things go break his way, can Ken Walker be an RB5 for you in round five? Yeah, he can.
Yeah, he can. Yes, absolutely. Here's the one thing that scares me a little bit, though. You have a guy that relies on breakaway long runs for a bulk of his fantasy, his production. He has a groin injury. Groin injuries are very, very difficult to shake all the way. A lot of guys try and come back early from them. And if you're relying on breakaway speed and breakaway ones for your production, a groin injury pulls away at that, pulls down at that, pulls down at that, pulls down at that. So I know it's training camp, but I think one of the things that I want to tack on to the training camp thing here is to look at those injuries and see how those injuries progress and how we track them. And if he's still limited week one, week two, week three, if he's still limited in the beginning of the week of practice with that groin, that gives me a little bit of – now, our drafts will be done by then. That'll give me a little bit of pause.
Okay, so
– Don't – Pete Carroll is fugazi with injuries, man. He does not – like, he is Bill Belichick times two. Like, he makes so much shit up, it's insane. But go ahead, Shane.
Well, I was just going to say, like, so Mike made a really good comment about, like, you don't want Ken Walker as your RB1. But again, like, you're not drafting him as an RB1. He's going as RB13 right now, so as a high-end RB2. And this is the thing, right? It's all about relative to what? Relative to what? If you're building your team and you go a strong wide receiver build, or maybe you decide to take a swing on one of these elite quarterbacks, or even you decided to go Travis Kelce in round one, right? So you're looking, you're around five, you're around six, and you're looking at that RB1 and you have no choice. Here are the players going around him. Okay. So again, Ken Walker's ADP is 54. Right ahead of him, Aaron Jones is going at 52. Nope. Right after him is Alexander Mattison at 58, Miles Sanders at 63, Cam Akers 65, and then J.K. Dobbins, who we discussed.
What are we talking about here?
So yeah. When you talk about upside, when you look at the range of outcomes, which one of these guys has the most likely possibility to finish as a top three, top four RB? It's probably Ken Walker, right? I like the idea that Aaron Jones is probably going to be a nice little safe play, but what if he doesn't get the touchdowns? Like, do we really believe, yes, talking about Camp Love, Jordan Love is getting the love from the Packers, and I wasn't a Jordan Love guy. I got to put respect on the name that he's looking good in camp. He's getting positive. We talk about the drumbeat. He's getting that consistent positive drumbeat. So, okay, check. That's good. But do we really believe that Aaron Jones is going to be able to return the high upside that a player like Ken Walker is? No. The one thing Aaron Jones can do, though, in full PPR leagues is he could have 8 receptions in a game, right? Which will buoy, which is better than a single touchdown, right? So of those two guys, 52 versus 54, you're on the clock, Mike. Would you rather choose Aaron Jones as your RB1 or Ken Walker as your RB1 if you've gone other builds? Which one would you choose? A safe player like Aaron Jones or a massive upside like Ken Walker?
This is me, though. As my RB1, I'm taking Aaron Jones.
Oh, my God. I want to come through the screen right now.
It's because of the volatility.
Dude, Aaron Rodgers is a check down king. Jordan Love is a mobile, big arm quarterback. Those check downs are not going to be there like they were last year. I am sorry, brother. Like, you can reduce the check down offense by like 20% because rookies just don't do it. Like, they don't do it. Love is not going to check it down to the rate like Aaron Rodgers did. I just don't believe it until I see it. I see Christian Watson being viable with Love. Big time. Christian Watson is the guy to have in that Packer offense, period.
Last 6 weeks of the season, Ken Walker, RB 14, RB 53, RB 27, RB
injured,
22,
injured,
RB
injured. 13, had an ankle, RB rolled 17. His ankle.
If he's your RB one,
rolled his ankle against the Niners and played through. I don't want to hear
it. Suck you in the fantasy playoffs. You won no ships. You get nothing. You
get out of here.
Go home. Hey, here's no the thing. Super
you. Have some substance when you start spitting out nonsense like that. The guy rolled his ankle against the Niners. He played through it like a stud does.
He was RB53 the week before he rolled his ankle with the Niners.
Nope.
That was week 13 against the Rams. He was RB53.
That's when he. Okay, let's keep going.
Yeah. We got. So for those of you listening at home, I knew the answer Mike was going to give because I've been podcasting with Mike long enough, and I knew the reaction Brandon was going to give. That's what you call.
That's why Shane's organic, the best podcast host organic, in America. For Canada.
Exactly. Organic podcast hosting. All right, guys, we're running low on time here because Brandon decided to schedule a freaking early tea time like he does. So we made it.
No, we got time. We still got an hour. You keep going. You're good.
Okay. So there's a team that we haven't really talked about yet. I think the writing's on the wall at this point, but Brock Purdy, man, he's the guy in San Francisco. Yep. This is a foul, okay? And then Sam Darnold's going to be his backup. And then Trey Lance
is QB3.
This is just how the drumbeat is going. Brandon, we're doing this wacky non-money dynasty draft for Flex Matt because Matt wants the data, despite the fact you could literally just go pull up ADP data. This beside the fact. You just went and you drafted Brock Purdy in a Superflex league at pick 8 overall. So this is maybe more so for your season-long.
Eighth round.
Okay. So I say that's pretty fair value for a starting quarterback who, look, he's got an amazing supporting cast. Okay. Yeah. Brock Purdy, not somebody I'm going to necessarily recommend in your single quarterback leagues, but we only play in Superflex leagues. Okay. I only play in Superflex leagues. How comfortable are you with Brock as your QB2 if you decided to wait and just hedge at quarterback for that QB2?
Honestly, as a Trey Lance guy, I am disgusted that I had to do that. That I had to pick you. As much as you like a player, you got to start. It doesn't matter what your opinion is when the coaching staff that's in charge of that said player is going another direction. You better not fight the current. You better embrace it and pivot your positions. Okay. And that's what I did with this one with Purdy. Purdy is Tony Romo reincarnated. He looks like Tony Romo to me. All I keep seeing is Tony Romo when I see his release. And he's surrounded by A-plus talent. He's got A-plus coaching. He averages 21 points a game when he was in the game as a full-time starter. And he did that with nobody understands. Purdy did that with broken ribs, dude. He did not even say – they didn't even report it. He did that with broken ribs with 4 games. That's impressive to me. Look what happened to Justin Herbert last year when he had broken ribs. He couldn't have his A dot.
Okay. This is where I get up and leave. Purdy, comparing Justin Herbert to Brock Purdy.
Listen to me. Purdy is going to be the guy. Trey Lance is no, it's not going to happen, people. It's just not. Like, they have made their decision. They are going to just absolutely bury Trey Lance or might move him at some point. The only way that Trey Lance is going to get on the field is by injury. And Purdy's been throwing dimes at camp. Everybody's been worried about this surgery he had on his elbow. He's not a major league pitcher, man. It's okay to be able to come back early from a Tommy John when you're a quarterback versus the way a pitcher throws the ball. So everything I've been seeing from docs and whatnot, they all said that he's going to come back in time, and he looks great. I'm just embracing what the Niners are doing. And I finally drafted my first share of Purdy as my QB2. And honestly, if you extrapolate out what he was doing last year, he's going to fall between QB8 to QB12. If he does scores 350 points as a quarterback. And if you're getting that at QB21 in Superflex,
23,
dude, smash. Like, that's what you do. Like, that's called value. And that's just what I do. And I'm just pivoting. I'm pivoting. I'm making it known. I'm pivoting. Purdy is the guy. Just move on. Like, it's just what it is.
So this is, again, it's all about context, right? So the players are going right ahead of Brock Purdy, Matthew Stafford, Jordan Love, and then right after Brock Purdy is Kenny Pickett and Bryce Young. So I'd say that's probably about right, right? As a low-end QB2, he's going to be a starter. Like if you're drafting Brock Purdy in your QB or your Superflex leagues or two QB leagues, he's going to be starting for you.
Yep.
And I think he can do a hell of a lot worse. So I'm the same as you, Brandon. We got to kind of plug our nose and just do it. But
you don't have to plug your nose.
I don't love it. Great. I don't like it. Great.
You know, like he looked great and he's surrounded by studs, man. Ayuk is set to explode. He's got Kittle as a blanket. Kittle's been talking him up all summer, man. Kittle loves this guy. And if Kittle loves this guy, that's the pulse of the team, period. Kittle is the he is the leader of that team, period. And let's just listen to him. And Purdy is the guy. So I'm drafting Purdy at value.
Yeah, I mean, so Brandon McBroom brings a really good point. So the Shanahan-style offense can have any QB start and do well. I wish Lance would be the starter. And that's the thing, right? Because of his confidence in his offense, he would much rather play a low upside guy that's safer, that's not going to turn the ball over, that can run the offense, because he has the skill position players that have that are yak monsters. George Kittle, Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, right? Like, these guys are absolute studs.
Christian McCaffrey.
Of course, right? So because of the supporting cast, we believe the hype.
Yep.
And that's it. So that's all I had in the list, boys. I mean, there's a few guys we could talk about, like Amon-Ra St. Brown, the sun god himself. He is who he thought he was. He is just going to be like, I think he has wide receiver one.
Say it with your chest.
It's a bold call. But Amon-Ra St. Brown could finish as a wide receiver one this year.
Yes.
It's possible, right? It's in the range of outcomes. Especially with Jameson Williams missing time. So I love that drumbeat. That's positive. We like that one. In general, Darren Waller, New York Giants, he's getting a lot of buzz. I love that drumbeat. Now, here's a drumbeat I don't believe in. Okay.
Here we go.
Jalen Hyatt just buzzed. Oh. Apparently in camp, he ran 24 miles per hour and he's just like melting faces. Listen, for some context, people. Okay. So last year in real games, his now teammate, Paris Campbell, was listed as the fastest in-game wide receiver at 22 miles per hour. Paris Campbell's also faster than this guy, okay?
No, he's not.
Paris Campbell. What?
He's not.
Okay, Paris Campbell, and yes, he's dealt with some injuries. Paris Campbell ran a 4.3140 versus Jalen Hyatt's 4.4040. Okay, Jalen Hyatt, that's a 90th percentile, which I believe in. But he's 6 foot, 176 pounds, okay? These players in pads, Jalen Hyatt at 176 pounds, he's not going to be running 24 miles per hour in games. I don't believe it. I don't believe the hype. Jalen Hyatt, the NFL told us in the draft who he was. I don't believe the Jalen Hyatt hype, but I do believe in Darren Waller.
Yes, I agree with you. I'm a big Jalen Hyatt guy. We've been chatting about this because we got this guy, this trash man in our chat, and we wake up to the biggest paragraph about Jalen Hyatt right out of the morning. Like, I haven't even gotten up and to rub my eyes yet, and I got
damn propaganda. Coffee.
You know, it's just straight propaganda, and I love it. It's fine. I love it. I like Hyatt, but, you know, it's just what it is. Love but it. Waller is going to score. If he can just stay healthy, that dude is going to score 12 touchdowns. Easy. 12, 13, 14 touchdowns.
He's a stud, man. He's a stud. All right, boys. That's all we got for the show today. We got to wrap her up. Brandon's got his tea time. A few things, okay, for the people. DFSArmy.com. Go check it out right now. Yeah. We just launched a brand new website about 3 weeks ago. It looks good. It feels sexy. It just feels right. And guess what? For NFL 2023, we have some special discount codes, okay? So save 25% off of a VIP, a Core 4, a Light, or an NFL-only membership with code NFL 2023. That's NFL 2023. Follow the link in the show description. Bring it to the website. Sign up. Use code NFL 2023. Get 25% off of your membership at DFS Army. And here's the thing about DFS Army, guys. We have real members winning real life-changing money. We're talking, we've had multiple milli winners. So we have multiple millionaires, compliments of DFS Army coaching staff.
It's true.
We get shit done. We get results. The best in the business for DFS. Of course, we are the fantasy football show. We are a niche show, which, again, is a little bit off because NFL is here. Fantasy football is here. So we are going to be here every single week. We've taken a hiatus. We are back every single week, getting you ready for your drafts. DFSArmy.com. So for my guy, Brandon, for Mike, I'm Flex Shane, and we are the DFS Army Fantasy Football Show.